Welcome to the Thunder Buddies podcast. I'm Joe Masato, joined by Barry Trammell, here to recap a couple of games and some pretty big news. I did not jump on the pod last night after the Thunder's 113-102 loss to the Hornets. But here we are again on Thursday night because the Thunder just lost its second game in two nights to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Barry, wanted to touch on both games and then get to some news. Last night had some historical value, even as these losses start to mount up for the Thunder. It was a 113-102 loss to the Hornets, but Alexei Pokuševski and Théo Maledon both scored 25 points. We talked about it before when they made history as the first teammates under 20 to score 20 points in the same game. As you wrote in your Scissor Tales yesterday, they upped the ante in this one. They both had 25 points. And there was some more historical context with that, and you sort of looked at some of the numbers. But what did you think about their night, both scoring 25?
Well, I thought it was a good night for Oklahoma City. I mean, they get beat by Charlotte, and you know, whether that's a good thing or not depends on your point of view. But the idea that, you know, these rookies who were not yet 20 both could go for 25 on the same night is very promising. Maledon clearly has shown that he's an NBA player.
Yeah.
He plays above his age already. But, Poku is such a different player since he got back from the G League bubble. And last night or Wednesday night was his, you know, the best game he's had and showed his remarkable progress.
He was 7 of 11 from three. He set a Thunder rookie record for three-pointers.
His three-point percentage – since he got back from Orlando, it's 36%, for crying out loud. So not falling a little after Thursday, he missed a lot of shots. But it's very promising for the Thunder that, you know, they hit on both of these draft picks. Not that Poku's going to be a star. Not that he's even going to be a rotational player necessarily on a good team. But he clearly can play in the NBA. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's still 19. He still weighs 64 pounds, you know. So
he's still getting chewed out by his coach a little bit.
Yeah, he's got so much room to grow, but he still can produce and play. So I thought it was just an excellent night for the future of the Thunder to have those guys. In the history of the NBA, until last night, only 59 players in their teens had ever scored 25 points or more. So it's a pretty exclusive club. And Poku became the 60th. Maledon had, you know, done it a week or two earlier. I think he had become the 59th. So, and then they both do it in the same game as teammates. You know, LeBron and Carmelo did it on the same night when they were rookies. They just happened to play for different teams. But, man, really good night and a good omen for the future, I would say.
Yeah, and especially like we're not talking about two guys who scored, you know, 25 in the same night that were the, you know, third and sixth picks in the draft or something. They were 17th and 34th. Maledon, I don't think it's too early to say he was a steal. I mean, he's super steady. He's been, you know, by far the more consistent rookie compared to Pokuševski. You know, stayed with the Thunder, did not have that time in the G League bubble. Constantly improves. He's already a steady and solid backup point guard, now playing starting point guard with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out. But Poku, it's remarkable how much better he has been post G League bubble. I wasn't sort of buying it at first. It was a small sample. But now it's enough to where you can really see that he's a totally different player. And I was joking about Daigneault chewing him out a little bit, but they had a bit of a heated exchange. But I think it's sort of reflective of Daigneault being a little bit harder on him now and expecting a little bit more since he's come out of the bubble. Daigneault joked that he was trying to speak fluent Serbian and fell a little short, but did get his point across. But that was sort of funny to see. But yeah, the Thunder, they have to feel good about. I don't think they would change anything with the 17 and 34 picks right now.
Yeah, no, it's excellent picking. I think we'll see how it all turns out, but.
By the way, it's kind of crazy. We've talked about this before. The Thunder keeps stuff under wraps pretty darn good. No one knows what they're doing. But, like, the biggest non-secret on draft night was that the Thunder wanted Poku, and then they were still able to trade up and get him. And, you know, so far it looks like the upside is real.
Yeah, and that tells you that not a lot of people believed in Poku or had an eye on him. He was at such a low level. You know, he's in the Greece B League, right?
Second division in Greece, yeah.
I don't know exactly what that equates to, but, you know, think the Enid, what was the name of our Enid in the minor league team a few years ago? The Oklahoma Storm?
Yeah, Storm.
The Storm, yeah. You know, we've had all kinds of renditions of minor league basketball over the years, the Continental Basketball Association,
I don't know, CBA. How do you think the Big 12 would compare with the Greek B League?
Well, I bet the Big 12 is a lot more skilled, but you know they might get
wrestled.
Yeah, they might get tossed out of the gym. You know, a bunch of shooting guards who take a smoking break and intimidate the heck out of them. But I'll say this: I'll bet Baylor could win the Greece B League. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
but I don't know about Kansas State. So, very good development. What Poco's been doing, epitomized by last night, of course.
Yeah, let's move to tonight, Thursday night. The Cavs were in town, a big game for the lottery, and the Thunder lost, which is good for their lottery chances. Oklahoma City is now 20-32. The Cavs are 19-32. So those teams are, I think, fifth and sixth as far as the lottery odds go right now. I haven't seen how that's changed as of tonight, but it was another blowout, 129-102. You did not have the big performances to talk about tonight. Ty Jerome did have a career high. He hit 23 points off the bench. Poku had 10 points, 3-12, 2-8 shooting. But Barry, I thought tonight was a reminder of how bad this last stretch is going to look. This is now five straight losses for the Thunder, and five straight losses doesn't quite do it justice. Five straight losses by an average of 29 points, and some of these have come against not so good teams: Cleveland, Charlotte, Detroit. I mean, they're playing pretty bad teams and getting destroyed.
Yeah. Now, what was interesting tonight, or Thursday night, was the Thunder actually got off to a decent start. Getting off to a bad start has become their calling card. To get off to a decent start tonight, 7-0, and led most of the first quarter.
Yeah, 38-38 first quarter. Yeah. The two worst offensive teams in the NBA.
It makes no sense. I mean, they literally are the two worst teams. Cleveland's 30th, Thunder's 29th, and it's 38-38, both shooting over 50% for the quarter. Combined, they make 12 of 22 three-pointers. And you thought, you know, this is going to be crazy. And what happened was, Cleveland's offense stayed fairly good. The Thunder's offense went splat. They scored 38 points in the first quarter. They scored 37 points the next two quarters combined.
Yeah.
So you knew the Thunder couldn't keep it up. I didn't think Cleveland could either, and they really didn't. And then but it was a game at halftime, Cavs up 65-61. And then Cleveland scored the first, 11 points in the second half, and the game was over. Thunder never got closer than 11, I think, again.
That third quarter did it. Kevin Love hit a three. That put him up 11-0 in the third quarter. Daigneault calls timeout, but the Cavs still crushed the Thunder 28-14 in the third, 36-27 in the fourth. I really liked Cleveland's young core in this one. I mean, Darius Garland is certainly growing on me. Colin Sexton is a heck of a player. He had 27 points tonight. Garland had 21. And then Isaac Okoro, who was the fifth overall pick in the 2020 draft, he had 15 points. And he's, you know, known as a really good defensive player. So, you know, not home runs on those guys, but pretty solid, you know, young core there in Cleveland, and they could be picking high again.
Yeah, they appear to be trying to get into that 10th or 9th spot, make a playoff appearance. Right now they got a game, they're a game worse than the Thunder, so I guess that makes them what? So sixth worst?
Yeah.
I think they're the sixth worst team, Thunder seventh. Cleveland sure looks like a better team than the Thunder, because of Sexton and Garland. And of course, it was Big 12 night at the Old Corral tonight. I mean, there were four Big 12 players in this game, none of whom, when they were in the Big 12 conference, did you look at and say, man, they're going to be good in the NBA, or they're going to be in the NBA at all. And yet all four of them go for double digits tonight.
Dean Wade.
Dean Wade started. Dean Wade, remember, that's a 6'8" guy from Kansas State.
He's
a good, solid NBA player. I mean, a college player. That K-State team that made it to the Elite Eight, Dean Wade, was their solid power forward who had the foot injury and couldn't play much.
Yeah, I actually covered them when they knocked out Kentucky.
You know, you look at that. Dean Wade scored, I think, 12 points tonight, made two or three threes, and was a solid player. Happy for him. I'm very happy for him. But I looked at that and I thought, man, if K-State would have had Dean Wade, they might have beat Loyola in that regional final. Nobody gets that excited about Porter Moser. He's not the OU basketball coach today. I don't know. But
hey, good job connecting the local news together.
There you go. But Dean Wade goes for 12. Tarian Prince, the Baylor phenom, he had 22, I think, or 23.
One Jared Allen was out tonight, so.
Yeah, and that's right. We could have had another one from Texas. But and then on the Thunder, of course, Kenrich Williams and Mihailuk. So those guys always play, you know, pretty solid. So it's it was Big 12 night at downtown Oklahoma City.
Yeah. What did you think of Ty Jerome? A career high for him tonight. You know, he was really bad on Wednesday night. He was 0-6 against the Hornets. Come back tonight. And has a really good game. Jerome was 9-16, 5-9 from three, 23 points. Pretty good night for Mr. Jerome.
Yeah, it was very impressive that, you know, he was terrible last night. Mark Daigneault even said it wasn't just his shooting. His floor game was off, but he was much better tonight. He's a guy I'm not sure about. To me, he's not – he doesn't take care of the ball. Even when he's making shots, he doesn't take care of the ball enough. You know, I think he could be a valuable point guard if he'd take care of the ball a little bit more, but he's not doing much of that.
He's a little herky-jerky in his movements.
So I don't know. If, you know, when I look at Mihailuk and when I look at Kenrich Williams, I think, you know what, I think they got a chance to last in the NBA for a while because they can do a lot of different things. Jerome, I'm still not sure about. So – you know, a game like this is going to help him in his career and everything else. But, you know, they always find room for you if you can shoot, and he can shoot. So maybe, you know, maybe he does have a future.
I think he does have a spot. I actually like his game. We talked to him post-game interviews and, you know, kind of a cool connection there. I feel like all these guys are connected in some ways from AAU to college to international play, but Ty Jerome and Justin Robinson, the Thunder's new 10-day contract player, overlapped, I think, for 3 years with Robinson at Virginia Tech, Jerome at Virginia. So those guys go back and forth quite a ways, played against each other in the G League bubble. And then Ty Jerome played with Jalen Horde for the Blue in the G League bubble. Horde, you know, he's doing some things. It's so hard to judge what those guys look like. But, you know, Robinson's just on a 10-day, so who knows what his future looks like. Horde could be around a little longer as a two-way guy along with Josh Hall. Anything stand out about Horde or Robinson, Barry?
Well, the first – let's see. Is this three games with him? Three games. Game one, I was much more impressed with Robinson. He looked like he could play a little. Horde, I wasn't sure could play a lick. Wednesday night, I didn't really notice one way or the other. Thursday night, I liked Horde. He seemed a lot more active than Robinson. So,
yeah, I guess that's the floor, just – he's kind of a smaller big, but he runs the floor pretty well and
Keeps inside. Yeah. I mean, neither one of them looks like they got a future in the NBA to me, but, you know, what do I know? I wish the best for them, but, you know, I think they're going to get a lot of time here in the next few weeks. because the Thunder's, you know, they're pretty set on moving down the standings. So I think we'll see a lot of those two guys, number three and number eight. I've had to memorize their number because I don't know their faces well enough.
Taking over for Chris Paul with number three. But anyway, more roster news, back into the roster news, and pretty big news. The Thunder actually just made it official, not with the signing, but with a departure. The Thunder announced Thursday night after the game that it had waived 31-year-old forward Darius Miller. Darius Miller really had a cool comeback story, I thought, in Oklahoma City. Missed all of last season with an Achilles injury. He was included as basically a throw-in in the Steven Adams trade from the Pelicans. But in 18 games, you know, played sparingly, but he shot 41% from three. He seemed to be a really good locker room guy. Everyone seemed to love him among his teammates. But the Thunder waived him to make room, reportedly from, you know, multiple reports, including the Athletic, Sean Charania. But Gabriel Deck, I'm sure is the better pronunciation. He's a 26-year-old forward from Argentina, but plays professionally in Spain for Real Madrid. Real Madrid just finished EuroLeague play. I think it's before the playoffs, but the regular season just finished. And the Thunder has not made that official as of Thursday night. But Deck, 6'6" shooter. He shot 41% from 3-point range, only 35% in his career. I have not watched videos of him. I don't know anything about him other than going to his international basketball reference page. But Barry, just kind of a guy that came from nowhere, that didn't seem to be on many people's radar, and he's going to get a shot with the Thunder.
Well, you know, in the old days we'd say, well, it can't hurt. Now we turn around and say, can't help. So that's a good thing. He's not going to come in and take the league by storm. Maybe he'll be a diamond in the rough. You never know. I know this. I love me some South Americans when it comes to NBA basketball. Manu Ginobili is my all-time favorite player in the NBA, or favorite person. Love watching him play.
I didn't know that.
I love Manu Ginobili. Love talking to him. He's like coolest dude in the history of the world to talk to. Nice. Love Manu Ginobili. And he could play a little bit, too.
And, on the side, yeah.
Yeah, but I loved all those Barbosa and Louis Scola.
Yeah, I was thinking Scola, yeah.
Yeah, and all those guys that looked like they just got out of French film.
Actually, one of Deck's teammates at Real Madrid, Facundo Campazzo, who's a backup point guard for the Nuggets, he's from Argentina, and they were actually teammates in Spain.
Really?
So two Argentines who played in Spain who are now in the NBA. So it'll be interesting to talk to Campazzo, who's been kind of an older rookie, but he's a fun player for the Nuggets. So his teammates coming over.
Yeah, so I'm anxious. Have the Thunder? I cannot remember the Thunder ever having a South American. They very well could have. I just don't remember it. So, the big guy that played for the Cavaliers forever. I loved him too.
Varejão.
But Anderson Varejão. Boy, do I like Anderson Varejão.
He was Brazilian, right?
Yeah, I think so. American provincialism, like me, Brazil, Argentina, what's the difference? That's not something you probably ought to say south of the Panama Canal, but you can say it up here. But yeah, I didn't hold, I was good with either one. The Bolivians, the Chileans, didn't matter to me. South America was where it was at.
Yeah. More international flair on this Thunder team.
It's
funny. Teo Maledon, Jalen Horde, and Lou Dort all speak French. Dort from Montreal, and then the other two guys from France. So they talked about speaking French to each other, and then Daigneault jokes about speaking Serbian, and now they add an Argentine and have Pokuševski. Drafted Vít Krejci from the Czech Republic. So all kinds of international guys on this team, and Shea from Canada, of course. So. A lot to keep track of.
Yeah. Generally speaking, it's good. I like the internationals.
The one curious thing, and I'd like to talk to Daigneault and Sam Presti if we get the chance, but what's odd about this signing to me is that he's 26. And as the Thunder's going all in on these young guys, like, for example, he might very well be better than Justin Jackson. Justin Jackson was in and out of the rotation here, didn't have much of a future with the Thunder. Justin Jackson's 26 years old. He just got waived to, you know, make room for younger guys. And then they add in a 26-year-old, not to compare those guys, but just it's easy to, from an age perspective, just kind of curious about the timeline of adding a more established guy rather than like a 19 or 20-year-old.
Why do you think they waived Darius Miller?
Well, I mean, Miller at 31 didn't have a future with the Thunder. So I think he was the most they wanted to keep Muscala around. So that's why he wasn't waived. And then if you look at the roster, if you want to bring in a guy like Gabriel Deck,
you think they really just want to take a look at Gabriel Deck?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they don't.
Wasn't a roster spot. If they really liked him, there wasn't a spot. And Miller is on an expiring contract.
Well, there you go. I wonder if he Miller, you know, I don't think has a future anywhere. I just found I'm with you. I found it very interesting.
By the way,
Miller was on the bench tonight.
He was on the bench
in street clothes, I think.
Yeah, he was on the injury report for something. Ty Jerome just tweeted, the Thunder announced the news on Twitter about waiving Darius Miller. Ty Jerome tweeted, "One of, if not the best teammate I've ever had. Great player, better person, love my boy. Thanks for everything, Darius Miller." So that's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool. That is pretty cool. And, you know, before he knew this news, Ty Jerome was very high on the Thunder organization post-game tonight. He talked about, you know, the way they teammates and the organization really help a guy develop and put him in great situations. So, you know, Darius Miller must have been part of that process.
Yeah. Yeah. It's also, you know, last thing on this Deck signing, which again, hasn't been made official, but will almost certainly happen given the amount of reporting on it. I think you wrote a story about this around draft time as far as bringing in two international players, well, three international players, Melodone, Pokuševski, and Krejci, and now more international players. So the Thunder definitely is putting an emphasis on international scouting and maybe finding some guys that not everyone is tracking, at least it seems like from the outside.
Yeah, no, that's right. And you know, the Thunder's in a little bit of an advantageous situation in that they can take all kinds of gambles and it doesn't affect them. You know, in the old days, you know, when they've drafted Terrence Ferguson either 17 or 18, can't remember what it was. They needed him to come in and play well. And when he didn't, it wasn't great for everybody involved. They draft Poku in that position and they want him to do well, but they don't expect it or need it.
You know, and there's far less pressure on him.
Right, no pressure. They can draft Maladone and, you know, toss him in as a second round pick and he's playing more minutes than all but three or four rookies. So it's sort of a great laboratory for these young guys.
Yeah, like Moses Brown playing 30 minutes.
Tonight. Moses Brown. And now these two guys, Robinson and Ford. So maybe the Argentine is the same way.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see what the timing is, to see when he arrives in Oklahoma City and when he joins the Thunder. But that brings the roster back up to 17 with Miller out and Deck in. We'll have more on that soon. Hopefully get to know him a little bit more and have some stories on that. But thank you guys so much for listening to the Thunder Buddies podcast. That'll do it for us tonight. And we will be back with you on Saturday.